Thursday edition of the Green Zone. Of course, the football theme keeps going here in Saskatchewan. The Grey Cup celebrations kind of dying down a little bit, although they'll pick up later this afternoon when we got two Grey Cup champions here in studio with us, Trevor Harris and AJ Ouellette.
I'm looking forward to that.
Here on the Green. I wonder if they're traveling back to Ohio together like they did when they came up 2 years ago before the 2024 season.
Where's AJ's contract at?
Free agent.
Okay.
Pretty much any player, free agent.
It's good odds if you just guess free agent?
Yes.
Okay.
Try me again. You have another one?
Tavon Campbell.
Free agent.
You had to think about that.
Yeah, it was a one-year contract.
Furlan.
When he signed. No, he is signed for, I think, through 2027. Furlan signed. So.
Jackson.
Free agent. They're all, it's free agent. It's free agent. It's free agent. It's free agent. All of it.
Lather.
Not a free agent. He signed
Mike
like a 3-year extension. The kick, the punter? The guy they just signed, Michael Hughes? Let's go. No idea. Okay. No, he wouldn't be a free agent. He'd have to sign a 2-year entry deal. So, yeah. There are plenty of free agents for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
That's a fun game. Let's play that this afternoon.
I think that's enough. I think we played that game to bed.
Sales.
Not a free agent. Sales is signed. Milligan Jr. signed. Jameer Thurman is signed. So,
Hardrick.
I do have a few. Hardrick is a potential free agent. Okay, let's get to the Vanier Cup. As we go from Grey Cup to Vanier Cup, they held their opening news conference today. And for Huskies running back Ryker Frank, he's ready to play his final collegiate game right here in his hometown of Regina.
Yeah, it is a nice full circle moment for me, you know, getting to play my last Husky game here back in my hometown. This is a special game for us. You know, we've gone through a lot this season on and off the field.
The U of S Huskies, University of Montreal Caravan held their Vanier Cup news conference this morning ahead of Saturday's kickoff at Mosaic Stadium. Of course, Ryker Frank, he's graduating from the program this year, will get to play in front of friends and family in his hometown of Regina. The team is still not quite sure if their quarterback, Anton Amenrud, will be able to attend Saturday's game. Head coach Scott Flory says the Saskatchewan Rough Riders are helping them put together a contingency plan that might be able to get Anton to the stadium and back to Saskatoon. Of course, he's going through his cancer treatments right now.
When you start going through the treatments, you have to be careful, right?
Scott Flory said the Riders are, if they can make it work, the Riders are going to try to help that make it work to get Anton to the stadium. But if not, of course, he will very much be there in spirit with the Huskies on Saturday.
The Oilers.
What's wrong with your Oilers?
They're awful. All right, so Tom Wilson gets a couple of points last night. Those were both empty net goals because the Oilers' defense can't stop anybody. So, and at some point, someone's dog needs to replace Skinner in that. Like, has somebody got a German Shepherd? Strap some pads on him.
Because, like Air Bud?
Yeah. Oilers have dropped 2-3-0 in the last 7 games. On the road. They're awful right now. They're in Tampa Bay tonight. I read a tweet that kind of sums it up. The fact that Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl have gotten to the Stanley Cup Finals in the last 2 years with Stuart Skinner is more impressive than all of the Oilers' Stanley Cup wins in the 80s. That sums up where the Stuart, it's time they pulled up, and Pickard has not been any better this year either. They got to do something. Then they better start really, like, if Stan's not on the phone all day, every day, trying to make a deal to get a goalie.
Yeah, don't, everybody wants a goalie.
Well, that's your only job. Your only job in life right now, Stan, is to get a goalie.
Does Calgary have an extra goalie they can loan them? I know they're the worst team in the league, but they did get a win last night.
Huberdeau drags, throws it across, they score. What a play by Huberdeau to find Morgan Frost. Now Anderson shot, and tapping it in, Backlund scores.
It was 6-2 Calgary over Buffalo last night. The Sabres had been winning two straight going into that game last night, but the Flames end their five-game losing streak. Up next for the Flames, they're hosting Dallas on Saturday, but so their lone home game in an eight-game span for the Calgary Flames.
Everyone anticipated this one, and it happened last night. The Jets locking up their captain, Adam Lowry, 5 years.
Marcy, Lowry scores! Shoots, tip, they score! Game over! Series over! And the hero is Adam Lowry!
$25 million contract extension, so that's $5 billion a year. Adam is staying with the only team that he has ever played for. He's 32 at this point. He's only been on the ice for 7 games because he had hip surgery back in May. Starting to look more and more like himself. He made his season debut on November 4th and had 1 goal and 2 assists in that game. So Lowry has recorded 122 goals and 154 assists over his 782 career with the Winnipeg Jets.
As we go to the NBA, have you checked out the Raptors recently? They're playing quite well.
Here's Ingram, the three, bucket and bucket. Grady looks back for Scotty, the extra pass. Oh, so pretty. Raptors get it back. Scotty, the look off and the two-handed slam.
So the Raptors last night, 121-112 win over the 76ers. When you look at the standings early going in the NBA season, the Toronto Raptors are in second place in the Eastern Conference. They're 10-5. They're on a 5-game winning streak. The only team better than them is the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons have won 11 straight games, have only lost twice this season at 13-2. The Raptors are 10-5 on the season. The Raptors are back at home against Washington tomorrow, as this young Raptors squad definitely taking a little bit of an uptick from where they were last season, which was out of the playoffs. So hopefully they can keep this rolling for the duration of the season. A reminder, coming up on the Green Zone this afternoon, we'll be joined by Trevor Harris and AJ Ouellette as the Riders continue to celebrate their Grey Cup championship. Kenzie Lalonde will be here for a PWHL preview as year 3 of the Professional Women's Hockey League will be underway this week. Dave Naylor will join us from Houston. Thursday night football tonight, it's Lockers Bills against the Texans. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Thursday afternoon. Dave Naylor, our CFL and NFL insider, is going to be in just past 3 o'clock. He's going to join us from Houston. Of course, Thursday night football tonight. It's the Buffalo Bills against the Houston Texans to kick off this week in the National Football League for the Bills. It's been a weird year in the NFL a bit. The Bills, they're behind the Patriots. The Texans were good last year. They're 5-5. The Colts leading that division. The Jags are 6-4. So, big game for playoff implications for both of these teams. And then, on Sunday, the Chiefs and the Colts go head-to-head.
Who'd you pick for that game?
I haven't made my picks yet on that one.
You know where you're leaning.
It's in Kansas City. I'm still leaning towards Jonathan Taylor and the Colts and the run game against Kansas City.
You're taking the Colts over the Chiefs?
I said I might take the Colts over the Chiefs.
You've given up on.
I'm not a
Your
Chiefs fan. What are you talking
team
about?
As well?
Not my family's team. It's not my family's team. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I am part of the family, and they are not my team. Not even close.
So there's
I wish nothing but the worst for Kansas City Chiefs.
There's four of you in that house.
Stop doing math.
And three of them cheer for the Chiefs. Seems like a wash to me. Good luck with that. Scotty, leave this week's picks off of social media.
I think I've picked against the Chiefs already this season. At least once.
I picked the Colts. I'm not going to make the same mistake I made last week. I picked the Chiefs last week.
Yeah, I was disappointed in you. If you're going to hold on to something, hold on to something with the Chiefs because it's on the board that they're going to miss the playoffs.
I was trying not to pick based on my...
Could you imagine if the Chiefs don't make the playoffs? Oh, boy.
I can.
Oh, boy. But it's getting close to the end in the National Football League. Just a couple of weeks left in the regular season past the midpoint. The Chiefs are 5-5 on the season. We're going to talk a little hockey a little bit later on because we talked about this with Drew Remenda. As the Olympic team will be announced December 31st, New Year's Eve is when the Canadian side will announce.
It's a weird time to announce it, isn't it?
No, it's the World Juniors primetime game.
Okay.
So they'll probably announce it either in an intermission or just before that primetime game on New Year's Eve for the World Junior Tournament.
But isn't that something you want to make a big deal out of? Like do something, like
somebody's
going
to have to remind me this. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, somebody out in the wilderness. The 2010 World Juniors was in Saskatoon, the 09-10 tournament, because the 08-09, that was the Everly goal. The next year was in Saskatoon. That was going into the 2010 Olympics. I believe they announced the team in Saskatoon, the Olympic team in Saskatoon in 2010. So it's in that world of World Juniors, lots of hype around Hockey Canada. Let's go now to our Olympic team.
Odd day. We're kind of unplugged from hockey a little bit. People are paying attention to their gathering, their parties, and everything like that. I could be wrong.
I think it's just a major event for World Juniors. But the debate's going to be Bedard and Macklin Celebrini. Connor Bedard, Macklin Celebrini. They're in the top five in scoring.
Matthew Schaefer.
Let's keep it to Bedard and Celebrini. Two or none, or one, will make the Olympic team.
Celebrini.
Year one. I think both. It's more, you get to bring more players than that was at the Four Nations. It's a list of 25 players. It was 23. So there's two extra spots. So there's going to be guys in the press box who don't play. I think Bedard and Celebrini will both be there.
I think it'll be Schaefer and Celebrini.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. What do you think? Let us know here on the Green. Someone texted in.
They were there. Saskatoon. They were there.
Saskatoon.
You are correct, Jamie.
They did announce it.
Michael.
In Saskatoon.
Thank you for the text.
Dynamite with a laser beam.
Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone on this Thursday afternoon as Saskatchewan continues to revel in Grey Cup glory. A pair of Grey Cup champions will be in a little bit later on this afternoon. Trevor Harris and AJ Ouellette will join us to talk to you, Saskatchewan, about their Grey Cup championship and whether or not Trevor Harris is going to retire.
I'm sure we'll get out of him.
I'm sure he'll break the news right here with us. That he signed a contract extension.
Don't go anywhere.
But come on, the clip he had yesterday, he's playing next year. AJ Ouellette is also, nobody's asking AJ. He's also a free agent after this season. I imagine Saskatchewan. Do you know how many Ouellette jerseys are? It is all Grey Cup Festival. 45 jerseys everywhere. I told you the story. The one gentleman, hey, where are you guys at? I want to buy you a drink. I'm wearing the Ouellette jersey in Ryderville. I asked 15 people if they were Shane. None of them were. But he did find Britton and I at the Rec Laws concert on the Saturday night. Meanwhile.
Text us any questions you might have. If you want us to ask anything in particular.
For Harrison Ouellette, go ahead. But right now, we're going to get you set on the PWHL season tomorrow night. The champions, Minnesota, taking on Toronto, Vancouver, Seattle, in the debut of those two franchises. And Kenzie Lalonde is joining us right here for a preview of the PWHL. Kenzie, how are you? And you're in California today?
Oh, yes. But I think I brought the Canadian weather because it's not sunny. So it's great. There's palm trees to look at. But is it the sunniest? No. But I'll take it for a mid-November trip.
Yes, a mid-November trip to California is good with the Ottawa Senators, of course, in Anaheim tonight. But year three of the PWHL. Let's just start there. We're seeing the growth, of course, with two new franchises. Where have you seen the biggest growth and the biggest growth potential for years beyond just year three for the PWHL, Kenzie?
Well, I think first and foremost, to see already two new teams being added as we enter the third season of a league. They're moving the ball quickly, but you can tell the appetite for pro women's hockey is there. So why not expand? And the Pacific Northwest is going to be such an exciting market to now tap into. Some of the players growing up have played in the West Coast, and it's always just been Eastern Central to play high-level elite women's hockey. So I think from the big picture and the scope of the growth of women's hockey to now have a touch point of a pro team being based out of the West Coast now, it is really exciting. So, you know, you wonder if it'll ever touch the East Coast and hit Halifax and really try and complete this circle here. But we know the league is looking forward to continuing to expand and to grow. So when I look at how much we've seen happen over the last two seasons from the product on the ice, the level of physicality that's being played in the women's game, it continues to be that story of finally there's a place to generate and put all the resources, all the time and all the eyeballs on this one league. And it's just showing time and time again that it's going to be a successful and sustainable league for the women to play in for years to come.
Kenzie, so if we're going to deal with the expansion conversation, so 2023, the league, the start starts with six teams. This year it's grown to eight with the addition of Toronto and Vancouver. There is
Seattle and Vancouver.
And you've got potential markets like Calgary, Edmonton, Hamilton, Quebec City, Detroit, Pittsburgh. Am I missing Denver? Vegas has got to be in there. Out of those potential markets, do you favor one over another? Do you want it to stay in Canada?
This is a magic question. What a fun game to play. you look at where they're revisiting. I think you identified Denver, Detroit. I think seeing a pro team in Michigan would be a successful location. The growth of women's hockey in that region is significant. Even Washington. I mean, I had visited back when they hosted the PWHPA when it was just the association. And the association and relationship they built with the Capitals was really strong. So Washington, I think, could be an exciting place. But in terms of what will actually happen, guys, I have no idea. But these are some American cities that jump off the page to me. Detroit as well, that can really generate a cross-border rival. And then in Canada, I mean, certainly Calgary seems like a no-brainer to bridge that gap between Vancouver and more the Toronto-Ottawa area. And look, I spent majority of my early broadcasting career in university in the Maritimes, and I would love to see a team in Halifax. I think you've got a great facility there that can seat about 9,000, 10,000. So I'd love to see them go coast to coast. But, I mean, that is no insider information by any means, but some of those markets, you can tell, especially in Canada, it's a slam dunk. It's a no-brainer for where they choose to locate themselves. It would be travel dependent and venue dependent as well. So there's already some great rinks scattered across Canada that can make excellent homes. And we know, as we've seen in Ottawa, Montreal, and what will be a sold out crowd here in Vancouver tomorrow night, that the appetite's there, certainly here in Canada.
Kenzie Lalonde, preview of the PWHL, of course, welcoming two new franchises, Seattle and Vancouver, to the mix out west. Kenzie, let's with those two franchises, of course, they had their expansion draft, some talent, of course, landing in Seattle. Hillary Knight going there, amongst others. Sarah Nurse, the big name that lands in Vancouver. They also picked up a few members of the two-time champion Minnesota Frost. How do you think these two franchises' expansion teams are able to compete early on in their first year in the PWHL?
Well, when we heard from the PWHL hockey ops department, Jana Hefford, saying their priority was to make these two new clubs competitive. And, well, that's a slam dunk, because these teams are incredible. You look at Vancouver's blue line right now, you have six bona fide top-level defenders. You talked about the likes of Sarah Nurse joining that team. You've got some homegrown talent in Vancouver as well, with Jen Gardner coming in from Montreal, Hannah Miller from Toronto Scepters. I really think Vancouver, in my opinion, is my favorite right now, just because they have that balanced blue line and some really great skill up front with their forward group. And also their head coach, Brian Adulski, comes into the fold, and he has experience coaching some of these players, whether it's at the college level or on the international stage. So I'm really liking what I'm seeing in Vancouver. But then you flip the script and you go to Seattle, and they also welcomed some of the top-end players in the league. You mentioned Hillary Knight, Alex Carpenter. They've been playing on the international stage with the United States for about a decade now together. So watch out for that duo to shine for Seattle. And then their blue line as well, really strong on the left side, a lot of good left shot defenders. And so I think they did a really good job selecting their teams. They went about it a little differently with their approaches to the expansion draft in comparison to their signing window. But right now, if I had to pick a favorite for who will win the Walter Cup this season, on paper, to me right now, it's the Vancouver Golden Knights.
Wow. Kenzie, just a quick question, and we'll compare to what's happening in the NHL right now. We've got all this parity, and like the divisions are wildly close, and I don't know if this has a significant impact on it, but you've got a lot of players on the bubble for their Olympic teams, and I'm wondering if there's going to be a situation like that in the PWHL, and if there is, maybe just focus on the Canadian names that we should be watching for.
Yeah, this is going to be a really important year. In the same breath that it is for the NHL, it is for the PWHL in a condensed season and trying to get these games played before the Olympic break. With Team Canada, they have one more evaluation period happening in Edmonton, so those are going to be two more touch points, two exhibition games against the United States for their final evaluation period. Those are going to be happening in December. But the coaching staff on Team Canada for this Olympic roster has said that the PWHL is ultimately the evaluation tool, in the same breath it is for the NHL. So I'm looking at bubble players like I look at the depth and trying to find some space for the Julia Goslings, who will be on a new expansion team this year. And you think about the health as well, and these players are going to have to make sure they stay healthy this season to keep themselves in a spot. I'm trying to think of some of these bubble players. I think on the blue line is where a lot of this excitement is starting to generate. You have a new player in Chloe Primorano, who's still so young. She's still a teenager, playing college hockey right now. She's from Vancouver, and she's going to be competing for a spot up against these players that are in the PWHL, like a Jocelyn LaRocque, maybe even an Ashton Bell, who wasn't even centralized, which surprised me. But I think because we know the PWHL is an evaluation tool, I'm looking at Ashton Bell to have a great start to the season, and I think she could bring herself back into the conversation of maybe making a spot on this Olympic team. So it's going to be a busy a few months here. Canada expects to announce their team in early January, so that's about a month or so to get some hockey under their belt and make an effort to make this Olympic roster.
Kenzie Lalonde here on the Green Zone, a PWHL preview. It starts tomorrow, of course, with the two new expansion teams going head-to-head, Seattle against Vancouver at the Pacific Coliseum, Minnesota. The champs two straight taking on Toronto, who made a trade this offseason. I wanted to go to the offseason of the PWHL. They had the expansion draft. You're seeing drafts. You're seeing free agency a lot more. You saw Ellis Shelton traded to Toronto, first-round pick, fourth-round pick go the other way. How important is more off-season action for the PWHL? Because I felt this off-season was a lot more dynamic than the first between year one and year two.
Yeah, certainly. This was, well, this past year, and specifically the off-season when they opened up the 2025 draft, that was the first time they allowed for player-to-player transaction, or rather draft pick transaction. So that was the first time we're seeing that traditional player for a few picks concept. It was only introduced this past draft. So that's why we saw much more movement. But the one that broke the headlines, in my opinion, was with Ella Shelton going to Toronto. So now you have her paired alongside Renata Fast. They have played on the international stage together with Team Canada. So that was an excellent move by Gina Kingsbury to strengthen her blue line. They even made a move for trading their goaltender, Kristen Campbell. So she'll be with the Vancouver Golden Eyes this season. They brought in free agent Lane Chooley from Montreal, who has a proven back record of backing up Anne Renee Desbiens. So Toronto was really busy in the offseason. And I also got to tip my hat to Victoire general manager and now Hockey Hall of Famer Danielle Sauvageau. She went into the Hall of Fame as a builder, and she built this Victoire team very well here in the last summer because they lost some of their bona fide stars in Kayla Barnes on the blue line, Anna Wilgren on the blue line. And she brought in some heaviness to this team. More experienced, older players like a Haley Skirmura from Toronto, Cheyenne D'Arcangelo from Ottawa. These are some forwards that are going to bring a really good sandpaper to Montreal's game. And we've seen them struggle to get through the first round of the playoffs, even though they have the best player in the world, Marie-Philippe Poulin. So it goes to show it can't be a one-woman show. You need a supporting cast. And I think Sauvageau did the best job in the offseason to help fix the loss that they experienced during the expansion process.
Kenzie, one of the more heated conversations we had in the Green Zone Lounge was over the brand, the logos, the jerseys for the PWHL. I'm wondering if you're willing to go on record and name a favorite here on the Green Zone in Saskatchewan.
Oh, this is so hard. It's a toss-up. My two favorites are the Golden Eyes. I really like what Vancouver has done with their color concepts, brown, blue. I think they have a touch of gold in there as a third color maybe. So I really do like Vancouver's, but I got to give it to Montreal, the Victoire. I think their logo in particular is what sets it apart from me from the rest. So I like, if I could combine Montreal's logo with the Golden Eyes color scheme, then that would be okay. My final answer. But those are the two that jump off the page. I think they're both very original, and they're unique color combos that we haven't seen before.
Final one.
I like the logo. I like the Vancouver Golden Eyes logo.
I like
really cool.
I don't know, the Fleet logo, if you flip it a little bit, it's got a little Hartford Whalers in there, but with the B, you know, the other way. Anyways, is there going to be a three-peat to start or not? Can Minnesota do it again? Or are you going Vancouver to win this year?
Yeah, I'm locking it in Vancouver Golden Eyes, even though they haven't even played a game yet. So that's a bold.
That is bold.
But I'm going to make it. However, if I had to pick another team that you can't ever count out, that is Minnesota. They really didn't experience too much loss in their expansion. Yes, they did lose two of their most offensive defenders. But at the end of the day, the player who's a pillar on the blue line, the Leafs deck line, and she remains on that team. Their forwards didn't change a whole lot. And I think what we've seen from head coach Ken Klee is he knows how to get the most out of his athletes. And knowing he's back behind the bench again for year three, I'm confident in that group. When it comes to playoff hockey, they know how to turn it on, and that's an intangible quality that this team has that I just think other teams don't have. So it's possible. It is possible.
Well, Kenzie, enjoy the game tonight, Ottawa and Anaheim, before you take off to Vancouver for the start of the PWHL season. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
That is Kenzie Lalonde, of course, joining us from Anaheim. The Ottawa Senators taking on the Ducks tonight as the PWHL season begins tomorrow. Coming up next on this day in sports history.
All the band is out on the field!
Yes, we'll remember the play next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. On this day in sports history, 1982, November the 20th. It was Cal versus Stanford.
Ball comes loose and the Bears have to get out of bounds. Rogers along the sideline, another one. They're still in deep trouble at midfield. They tried to do a couple of... The ball is still loose as they get it to Rogers. They give it back now to the 30. They're down to the 20. All the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone. He's going into the end zone. The Bears have won!
Yes, California Golden Bears on a last-minute kick return where they're throwing the ball over the field that Stanford thought it was over, so the band went on the field. Was it a trombone player who got popped, I think? The play happened on this day in 1982.